Hey, give this band just another love. I love you. I love you. Applause. Appreciate them so much. Hey, anybody here that had never been with us before? If you're new here, really, you're a good man. Lots of people. Hang on. One thing we do here is we appreciate people coming, driving past lots of churches to get here. And I pray that when you come, that you feel the love. And, you know, I think all churches try to have cliques. And I just, obviously, you know my heart, I don't believe in cliques. I think we all, our country is going in such a way where everything's divided. And let me tell you something. God does not see color. Okay? But, Jesus, our government does. And they're trying to twist it now on us. And I want you to know, you be proud of who you are. And don't you let someone through the news or anybody else try to tell you that you're anything other than an awesome, mighty man or woman of God. Amen. And so we pray that we always have a lot of visitors that come. We're about a church of 18 years old. And so really relatively new compared to some of the churches I grew up in that's a couple hundred years old. And so God revived this one, or he at least started it 18 years ago when we turned the church at Lubbock, church at the barn, over to Ted and Jan Currington, the pastors now. And Jamie and I came, and we knew we wanted to start something around here, and did a camp meeting, and God birthed this church. And it started as an outreach, to be real honest, at Smiling V Ranch on a Monday night. About 2 years into it, maybe a year and a half, God birthed it into a church on a Sunday. And because it was just to get people saved at the start, but then people didn't want to go anywhere else. And I knew that was when it was time. We put up a tent when we bought this place, a tent right over here, held about 150 people, and it was packed out. If it was 70 degrees, it was so full inside the tent that they had to sit under the trees out there where AJ and Joni have the RV. And what an amazing thing. And then, miraculously, debt-free, God allowed us to start building these buildings. And so y'all that are coming, yes, we're relatively new, but I'm telling you, we love Jesus. Might not do everything right, and sometimes Pastor Corey here is gone. Man, by the way, I've been gone a week or two or more, but at San Angelo at the Rope and Fiesta church service, there were 11 or 12 that were born again. But last weekend at the national finals, and I know it was, what an honor to win the world championship in the legacy. And I'm here to tell you that's no small accomplishment, because I'm roping against the best old men in the world. So, older men. And so it was an honor to get the Professional Cowboy Association to give me a saddle and a belt buckle. I didn't wear the belt buckle. It's just so nice. I left it in that box. It's a beautiful belt buckle, but I don't know if I'd wear it. Maybe I might hang it on the wall beside the saddle. But we had a major move of God at the church service there last weekend, because more people got saved than we have seen in at least 10 years. So glory be to God. With that, I can't thank you enough for allowing your pastor to leave. And I always say it like this. The reason that God will not allow me to not go out there and tell people about Jesus is because no one else is doing it. And it's easy for pastors to come, and even you don't see very many evangelists anymore. I don't know why. probably because of support. It's very expensive to do what we do. And but you know what? God, He's a great God. He owns all the cattle on a thousand hills. So if you're new here, would you allow us to welcome you? If you don't mind, if you've never been here before, just raise your hand one more time. Let us just love on you, welcome you, appreciate you. Amen. Thank y'all. Appreciate you, brother. Honored to have you. Now, okay, you see that? That's the cue. Give God some praise for tithes and offerings, please. Now, you guys that have never been here, or maybe you just started coming in the last 2 or 3 weeks. You was new and you decided to come back. The Lord told me 18 years ago not to take a salary at this church, so I don't. I don't take a salary here. If people want to give to our ministry, me and Jamie, you can on an offering envelope, but if you don't put anything or doesn't mark it, then it goes just to the church, and we're really strict about where designated money goes. For example, the building that we're believing God for, and I told y'all several months ago that people were, you know, I believe that God was just bringing forth people to give $10,000 towards the new indoor arena, because we're not going to build it until we have all the money to build it. And man, people just started giving, and some have given again. And that's the key, is that we can start teaching the Word of God about finances. Again, growing up, I was raised in some churches that didn't say much about money in fear it would split a church. And I started thinking about that just even in college one day. Why would a preacher be afraid of talking about money? And then obviously I understand that you watch someone on TV that doesn't have time to explain finances. You can get a bad taste in your mouth. Or you can listen to some religious person that will say things like the preacher just is trying to get a new Rolls Royce. That's what I heard growing up. And so when the Lord told me not to take a salary here, it opened up some great doors to be able to teach the Word of God. Because as y'all know, if you've been here and you're members of this church, I studied this Word because I had to have in college, I had to have a Pell Grant, a student loan, a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship. I mean, we did anything just to survive and make some money, because my mom and dad were working their tails off just to try to get three of us boys through college. And it was very expensive, and so we had to have some help. But we didn't get taught a lot of this stuff that we teach here at Cowboy Church about money. And so I dug into the Word of God, and I found out that 2,036 times it talks about money in this Bible. And I was kind of brought up, no one said anything about it, except that one scripture that says Jesus became poor. And then they would stop. So you need to be like Jesus and be poor. Yo mama. Not me. Because you can't help anybody and bless them if you're poor. But if you read the scripture on, it says Jesus became poor. The reason he was poor, because he came from the streets of gold. He came from heaven, man. And he came to this earth. So he did become poor in that sense, but he still had a treasurer, an accountant, someone tending to his finances. It says that Jesus became poor so that you can be rich. Now, we teach it this way. God wants you to have a lot of finances. He just doesn't want money to have you. Amen? So don't let money control you, because then you'll get greedy, and then you'll love it. And then what's the word say? The love of money is the root of all evil. And so you don't want that to happen. You want to get out of debt. You want to owe no man but to love them. You want to be able to bless people. And that's the key. Scripture that I looked up just a little bit ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 says, "For if there be first a willing mind to give, it is accepted according to that man that man has." and not according to what he doesn't have. In the Amplified, I like it. For if the eager readiness to give is there, then it is acceptable and welcomed in proportion to what a person has and not what he doesn't have. So the point is it's all from the heart. Once you start trusting God with your finances, oh man, he will bless you abundantly. All kinds of scriptures about how God loves the cheerful giver, how he delights in his people that just have that heart. And so this morning, when you give into these buckets up here and you bring your tithe or your offering or first fruits or whatever it is, alms, I want you to keep that in mind. God wants you to be blessed. Just don't let the money control you, because then you won't be able to be led by His Spirit. Amen? So come give with a big old shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, kiddos. Father, we love you. We appreciate all the people that gave. I thank you, Lord, that the word says in Malachi that if we give, it'll be given unto us, pressed down, shaken together. And it just begins to open up a barn so that you can fill it up where they'll have to build a bigger barn to receive it all. So, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the people giving. And now, sir, as you know, we are very strict with integrity to do with finances what we need to do with it. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the givers. And I ask you to prove your word to them and bless them. Not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, bless them 100-fold. Say amen if you agree with that. You won't agree with the 100. Man, y'all should read the Bible. It's a cool book. Kids church, oh, you're going to have a good time. Youth group, oh, we got some of the greatest youth pastors. So, now do it, class. Okay, you do what I'm fixing to tell you, or I'm going to send you in time out or something. My mom and dad didn't do time out. They just whooped our tail. With a big round of applause, kids' church is dismissed with the bell. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Oh, man, I'm excited. Jesus. Ooh. Woo. Ricky Bowen is the only one that has heard this message twice. You've only heard it once. He was the only one with me. Oh, wait. Was you at San Angelo? Who was? Oh, Ann Laurie. That's right. You got me again. Yes. You're so sneaky that no one sees you. Okay. Cut the edit. Edit that back. Could you back up just a little bit? Okay, just go back. Ricky and Laurie is the only one that's heard this message twice. Daryl and Jane one time. But I believe it is so relevant that I want to minister it to my family. And, oh, man. I want you to get a hold of what I'm fixing to preach to you. And I say preach because there's a time I believe I'm very apostolic. You know, the Apostle Paul was an apostle. And God uses the apostles in a mighty way because they start a lot of works. And they can actually operate in all of the fold as a pastor, as an evangelist. I mean, it's pretty evident here as I pastor, I do it very evangelistic because there's always people saved. Where I can also get into this teaching anointing, you know. And then there's a lot of times that we'll prophesy. And thank God for all five of them. And all five of them should be operating in the church. Now some would say, no, the evangelist needs to be out. Well, if the evangelist is here, it's going to fire you up to tell people about Jesus. And then prophetically, if we can speak the word of God or however the Lord wills, and I'm telling you, His will is He wants to do mighty things in the church. Now, how many of you know the church is not this building? The church is you. And He wants to see signs and wonders in your life because you believe. If you don't believe that God can heal you, and it's just too much for you to believe because of the things that you have seen. You saw someone not get healed that were prayed for. Then healing won't come to your individual life. You're going to have to come to this church where there's more believers that you're hanging around to be able to see the manifestations of the healing power of God. But if you want it in your individual life when you leave here, here's my suggestion. Believe. Believe that God is the healer and He still heals today. Now, with that said, it can go into the next areas of your life. Not just healing, but if you want to see the power of God demonstrated in other areas like restoring a marriage, like healing your body in any kind of way, then again, you have to believe, and you can't believe the report of someone else. Because we do that a lot. We'll believe the report of a doctor, and he has the final authority in our life. And we've been programmed because of he or her, you know, having a lot of education, that they are the final authority, and they are not. Any Christian doctor or nurse will tell you God is the final authority. He is the great physician. Say amen to that. So why wouldn't we just call on Him instead of the doctor first? Now, don't get me wrong, because God will use that doctor to do you some good. But if the doctor then says you're going to die, why don't you go ahead and believe the report of the Lord that says you're going to live by the stripes of Jesus? Amen. Here it is. It's all because of the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man, I wanted to shout right there. But I'm trying to control. I'm going to shout later. I'm just a fired up little cowboy preacher that's excited that I don't have to die and go to hell. That I have the power and authority to use the name that's above every name. I'm glad you asked about the name because we need to talk about it. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And everybody go there and I'm going to wait on you to get there. Philippians chapter 2. Get your phone out. Get Wi-Fi. Go to the Bible app or get that paperback book, the hardcover, whatever it is. And I want you to turn to an epistle called Philippians. Philippians, and go to the second chapter, please. Now, when you get there, I want you just to declare it with an amen. Okay? If you're not there yet, and you need to go to the front of the Bible and the table of contents, say, oh me. Is everybody there? Amen. Well, I see some people not there yet. I married them, but Because I want you all have to see this, you see. And if you don't have a Bible, I want you to look on with your neighbor, and I want you all to see what Philippians chapter 2 says. Let's start in verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. Now look at the Amplified, because it kind of helps you understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or attained. So it's going to take some work, is what he's saying. Verse 7 in the King James. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And this is talking about Jesus, y'all. And was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, I like this part. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God also highly exalted him. We're talking about Jesus the Son, and given him a name which is above every name. Now listen to this though. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, say that with me, every knee, say it one more time, every knee will bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. The Father. The name that's above every name. Now let me just set up this message, because this is something you have to understand if you're a born again believer. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, remember Romans 10, if you have confessed Him with your mouth, not just thought the prayer. I don't understand. It's amazing when I do a salvation plan, how people will just bow their head and they'll tell you they prayed it on the inside. No. There's something about the confession. I mean, you got to speak the Word of God, because if someone's coming at you with a gun, it's not going to do you very good to think, stop in Jesus' name. No, he's going to shoot you. But when you say, stop in the name of Jesus, oh man, there's power. See. So to a believer, man, there's some power in knowing who you are in the Christ Jesus. And understanding that you have the access, the authority, to use the name that is what? Above all names. Oh, Jesus. And when you really understand that as a believer, then it would make a lot of sense for you in the trials and the tribulations and in the junk that's happening out in the world, if you would just simply understand the power of the name, that you have the authority to confess and declare that it's above every name. I mean, think about that for a minute. Wow, it goes into lots of realms. But the Bible talks about three of realms that it goes into. And let's just look at it just for a second. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that the miracle of Jesus' crucifixion was not Jesus coming off the cross. Okay? That was not the miracle. You know what the miracle was? is resurrection. Because coming off the cross, he was still dead. But as we know as believers, that third day, he was raised from the dead, man. And he's not dead any longer. But a lot of times people keep him on the cross, or if he's off the cross, they keep him in the tomb. And all that's doing is keeping a Jesus that is not alive. He's dead. And you're just trying to memorialize him. You're just trying to, you know, hopefully think that he's still alive and mighty and powerful and has authority. But when you truly know that the miracle was not him coming off the cross, but the resurrection that third day, and that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and that he's praying and interceding for you and me, and that he's all powerful, and we can be led by his Spirit, I'm telling you, there's no devil in hell that then can get you down and cause you to not be victorious in him. And it's all because God has exalted him and given him a name. And at that name, Jesus, every demon has to flee. At that name, Jesus, again, every single knee, that's everybody in this world, will have to bow down to that name. And the Bible talks about three places that the name of Jesus will be bowed to. And obviously, we find it in verse 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. That's a realm, y'all. Heaven is a realm. Now listen to me. I did a full several weeks of messages about the end times and how Jesus is going to be coming back to get you and I pretty soon. I mean, it looks like every day that it could be any time, any hour. And none of us know when the hour is, but don't get misguided, because you should know the time. I'm not talking about the specific time, but you should know the about time. Well, it's now. Because the Bible tells us to look up, our redemption draws nigh. I mean, we don't have to be hidden. It doesn't have to be a secret that Jesus is coming back. It doesn't have to be, like the Word says, a thief in the night. Not to a believer, but an unbeliever, it's going to be like a thief. We don't have to live like we don't know when the signs of the times are. No, we as Word people know the signs of the times. And we're in those times where Jesus, with the shout of an archangel, like a trumpet, is going to shout like a horn sound, probably, and you and I are going to be called up to meet Jesus in the air. Now, I realize that the Bible says the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and I did a great study on the dead in Christ, because it gets confusing about are you saying the dead are still there? No, just their body. The Bible says to be absent from the Lord is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so don't confuse your spirit, man, because that's what gets saved, not your body. Your body just flesh. This body is the temple. It's just where God's housed. The Spirit of God lives in the temple. That's why you want to treat the temple correctly. Amen. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Thank God for grace and mercy. Say amen to that. But don't get confused. It's the Spirit of God that gets born again, and the Spirit of God goes to heaven. Now, the body, though, is corruptible, okay, because of sin. It can get sick. It can die. It can get beat up and get broke leg or whatever. Okay, so when the body is in the grave, or it's cremated, or it got blew up in war, it doesn't matter. That body then is going to get an incorruptible body, and it's going to rise to meet Jesus in the air. And so don't get mixed up or upset about cremation or stuff like that. I mean, God's just going to bring an incorruptible body that can't get sick to meet Jesus in the air. So that's what that means. The dead the dead in Christ, their bodies that are corrupted and they've died, doesn't mean their spirit is not with Jesus, just they're going to get a new body. And then all of us that are alive here are going to be called up to meet Jesus in the air. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay, so I did that message for several weeks because heaven then is the realm that the Bible says every knee is going to bow and confess Jesus is Lord. So Jesus has authority over the first realm, heaven. Glory be to God. And it's pretty obvious, you know, heaven is a wonderful place. But listen to me. When we get called up to meet Jesus in the air, if we're still here, and I agree with, you know, a lot of these preachers that are saying we could be the ones that are the elect that God has called at this appointed time to be the ones that see the rapture of the church. And if we are, praise God. Because listen, we'll be called up to meet Jesus in the air. We're going to go to heaven only for 7 years. This is seven in rodeo language. See, y'all want me to teach you that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay? I'll take up an offering later for that. We're only leaving for 7 years, y'all. Then we come back here for 1,000-year reign without sin. Anyway, praise God. So Jesus, in His name, is above any name, and every knee is going to bow in that first realm, heaven. Okay, praise God for that. But what about the second realm? Because then it goes on to say, He'll bow of things in heaven, things in the earth. That's the second realm, that Jesus' name is above every name. There's authority in that name. If you're a believer, then you have the right to use the name that's above every name, that every knee's going to bow on this earth. Okay, think about that for a minute. Because if Jesus has the name above all names, and He has the authority, praise God, and every knee's going to bow in the realm heaven and the realm earth, man, that's some power for you and I as a believer in Him. Because if His name that we live by, that we serve, the name that's above all names, and He's got the authority and the power in the realm of the earth where every knee's going to bow, then man, there's no devil in hell, there's no circumstance, there's nothing in this earth that then can cause a believer to not succeed in His name. So think about that, y'all. There's a lot of names that try to come up, like suicide, like depression, like addiction, like cancer, sickness of all kinds, financial trouble. All of those things has a name. And Jesus has a name above it all. And He's been given authority where every knee's going to bow in the earthly realm that you and I live in. And I'm telling you, that's all power. But not only does He have the name where every knee's going to bow in the realm of the heavens, the realm of this earth, but the realm of hell itself. Think about the power that the name has. The name that you call your Lord. Every knee in hell, even non-believers, one day is going to bow their knee to the name that's above every name, Jesus. You see, you and I have to start believing the power that is in the name, the authority of Jesus over the three worlds that must bow down to Jesus: heaven, earth, and hell. You and I just happen to live on the earth. But man, that demonic realm, man, that's going to be cool. When that demonic realm has to bow their knee to our Savior. But here's some issues that could get a little confusing here on this earth if you're not tapped into the Word of God. If you don't know who you are in Christ, and you're moved by things that you hear, smell, taste, touch, and see, you're going to have some difficulty understanding the realm of every knee bowing here on this earth. But man, when you find out who you are in Christ, and someone tries to say, you're no good, you're too fat, you're ugly, you're going to be addicted all your life, that's just part of it, you was born on the wrong side of the track, it's just your luck and all those things. Because of the name that you serve, the name that's above every name, the name that every knee should bow on this earthly realm, you're going to be able to tell the devil to get back under your knee, get his sap, well, I better not say it that way, get his rascally, rabbited self under your feet where he belongs, because you're not going to live an addicted person any longer. You're going to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. You're not going to be upset, messed up, busted, disgusted any longer. You're going to be excited about a Jesus that loves you enough to forgive you of every single sin you've ever committed. And not only does He just forgive you of any of those sins you've committed back when, He forgets it and throws the sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and He doesn't remember it any longer. And then you're going to start proclaiming the name that's above every name, so that someone doesn't tell you who you are. You tell yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. That you're the head and not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. That you are someone in Christ because He's your God and you're led by His Spirit. And you're not going to fail because you're going to succeed. You're a winner and not a loser, praise God. And then you just get excited. And you start telling people, yes, I'm a winner. I'm not talking about gloating and holier than thou. I'm just talking about you're not allowing the devil or the world system that has no rights. Because every knee, remember, is going to bow and proclaim that Jesus and His name, that's above all name, is the authority and the power in the realm of this earth. Because see, that's what the Word says. So why would we let all the junk that happens in our life, or kids not acting correctly, maybe they messed up. Maybe someone else messed up. Maybe you messed up. I'm telling you, there's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness because of the name that's above every name and the authority that we have by using that name, the name that is our Savior, Jesus, over the realm of this earth. Man. Okay. Hopefully I'm explaining this right, am I? Okay. Now, look at verse 11. And that every tongue was going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This scripture right here informs us that all will bow down. Think about that. All. The ones that have persecuted you for righteousness' sake, that hasn't believed you, that just can't fathom believing in a God that they cannot see. Doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, if you just ponder and think just for a minute about creation. Man, someone did a good job creating a body that functions the way this body functions, with cells and molecules and I mean feeling, I mean blood flow, a brain that works the way it was created to work. Are you telling me that happened with a bang? Are you saying that somehow it just started creating? No, it takes a lot more faith to believe in that than the faith to believe in a God that created the heaven and the earth and then created our bodies. and made the moon the greatest perfect distance from this earth so we wouldn't freeze, and the sun likewise, where we wouldn't burn up. Come on, man. I mean, it only takes an awesome God. Now, here's the good news. It's His Son came and lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, and people saw it and then recorded it in a book. Amen. And you know what the book says? It's continuing to come to pass even when scientists are trying to disprove the thing. Sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, if I come and slap you right on top of your bald head, I can promise you I just sowed a seed and I'm in trouble. Because I'm going to get the payback, buddy. You're going to make my head bald. Because I like it. Seed time and harvest, man. Okay? I didn't mean to talk about your head. It is pretty. I ain't kidding you. No offense, please. I know. You'll be amazed how you have to be concerned about that. Talk about me all you want to. I don't get offended. You know, Jesus, though, and His name. Now, check this out. I looked up the word Lord because, again, it informs us here in these scriptures that all is going to bow down and confess that Jesus is what? Lord. And so I looked it up, and the title Lord represents Jesus' authority. That's the first thing you ought to write down, authority. Because remember, He's the one that lives on the inside of you. And being the Lord of your life has given you then authority. Authority over what? Every demon in hell. Remember, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of darkness of this wicked world. You see, we have authority because of the Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that every knee's going to bow and confess, Lord. We have the authority over all things on this earthly realm right now. When we get to heaven, we'll have all authority over the realm of heaven. But we're not going to have to deal with the third realm, hell, right? Because we're going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus is Lord of our life, and we've confessed Him. John 14 says that He's the only way, truth, and life, the only way to the Father in heaven. So we ain't going to hell. But by golly, Jesus still has authority over hell. He also, because of that title, Lord, represents Jesus' holiness. That's why I'm trying to convince people to live right. I mean, I know sometimes preachers can get people upset at them for talking about certain things that they do. But yet, there's something about holiness. I'm not talking about a devil that brings guilt and condemnation when you mess up. I'm just saying, man, we're set apart people. You and I are peculiar people. We've got to be the ones that are set apart and try to do things right. We don't have to do things like the world. And I think you know, the conviction of the Spirit of God, you know when you're doing something that is contrary to the Word of God. But you just do it anyway because Jesus, He turned, you know, water into wine. All right, I ain't going there. Make everybody mad at the start, and I'm trying to get y'all to understand holiness. What about this third one? Power. Oh, Jesus. Dunamis power. Look right here, y'all. Power. The word Lord represents Jesus' power. Power. Now think about that. Because the dunamis power, remember, is the same power that God had when he raised Jesus from the dead. And you've got that dunamis power. Think about that, y'all. Jesus and his name that's above all names. You've got the power because of Jesus, not on your own, because of Jesus, to speak to every devil in hell and say, get thee behind me. So when you're attacked, you have power. Remember when in the book of Acts, the Bible says that you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you? And that power that they had on the day of Pentecost? That's why I don't understand, being raised a little Southern Baptist boy, we didn't get taught about tongues. You know, and I know I make a joke about Mitsubishi, Hyundai, Kawasaki, speaking in tongues. But really, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that they had in that day that is available to you and to me, oh man, I train in tongues in my office. And I stand at, I don't know if some of y'all see at the window, I stand there and just watch cars come in. I've done it for 18 years. I just love it. I used to do it in my little old office over there. And I just, no one could see me. And I just watch. And thank God for cars coming in. Because what if no one comes here? What if it's just me and Ricky? And my mom has to be here. She's my mom. But y'all keep coming. Why? Well, because the word is being preached. And I'll stand in front of that window and I'll just corro sempre kikandoro rasingindoroso. And then there's that religious person that, oh brother, if you speak in tongues, it has to be interpreted. No, it does not. Not your own tongue. Your own tongue, just pray. And it's a prayer that only God can understand and the devil can't. That's why I pray in the Spirit all the time. Because the devil can't understand it. Because if he could, he could come against the prayer. And it's not an old repetitious prayer that I'm saying over and over in English. No, it's the prayers straight from the throne of God that I need to be praying about. Maybe you or someone way down the road or someone that just needs prayer that no one's praying for. But by golly, I'm praying in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, ooh, Jesus, things happen when you pray in the Spirit. I mean, it gives you power. It also gives you Jesus' attributes because Jesus spoke in tongues. Why? Well, he's a pretty cool God. Not that he had to, but remember, y'all, he was still 100% man when he lived here for 33 and a half years. Why? Because he had to experience what we're experiencing because of sin. That's why Jesus was sent, y'all. Because Satan thought he was God and got kicked out of heaven, went to the earth, tempted Adam and Eve. Remember? And sin then abound. But Jesus was sent. Now, Jesus abounds much more than that sin. Sin does not control us. No. Romans says that we have dominion over sin. There's a lot of people that think sin controls us. It's just part of life. We fall short of the glory of God. You've heard me say that many times. But listen, sin does not have to abound in your life. Man, if you trust God and you want to quit something, I can promise you, you'll do it if you tap into the power and the authority of Jesus' attributes. I looked up this word, Lord, and I'll close right here. It's a Greek word, kairos, meaning all power, dominion, authority, and the right to master and rule. You see, Jesus' name that's above all names, being saved people, here's what it means, that we can declare His name. And as we declare it, we declare the lordship of Jesus over our lives, over demons, because demons have to submit to Jesus' lordship. Remember that Jesus, every knee's going to bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, which is hell. So even demons have to submit to Jesus' lordship. Sickness has to submit to His name. Poverty has to submit to His name. Defeat has to submit to His name. All must submit to Jesus' lordship, praise God. And that's the Jesus that you and I serve. Now, what I'm saying this morning is that every time we speak the name of Jesus, that is a name above all names, we're declaring His lordship in all the three realms: heaven, this earth that we actually live in, and we declare it in hell. Hell, in other words, cannot stop you and I as a believer. You and I are not going there if Jesus is our Lord. That's why it's important that we get people born again. That's why I'm going out there to the uttermost parts of the world. Maybe in this earth, but I'm telling you, people are needing Jesus now like no other time. Why? Well, because of a pandemic. And they've tried to stop our church services. I got a poster from McCloskey, Mike, today that said, "Vote for Proposition 3 and keep the churches open." Well, that's the proposition that passed that we started the meetings in this church. You see, there's something about understanding the realm that we live in, and that we're not going to allow a devil, the devilish realm, the hellish realm, try to dictate what we do here on this earth. We're not going to live by that. Why? Because we serve the name that's above every name. Glory be to God. And when we declare His lordship, and we do it in the three realms that submit to His name, we'll do it forever and ever. And you'll start having victory in your life. You'll start having victory. Jesus. 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 There is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Sing that with me, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you're declaring it. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Listen to this part. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Oh, glory. I said glory. Oh. You know what that does to me? That gives me an excitement that no matter what I do, if there's some failures on this earthly realm, it's not going to move me. My joy is not determined by what happens in a rodeo arena. My joy is not... It does not determine my wife not cooking me chicken fried steak. You savvy? My joy is not determined by things that might not go the way I think they should. No, my joy is in the Lord that produces strength in my life. All because of the name that's above every name. Say it with me. Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
Jesus. I'll finish with this story. And some of you have heard it, but I was preaching in a coliseum in Abilene, Texas. And there was 200 or 300 of us in this one big section. And the rodeo was about to start, so people started filing in. But they were here. It seemed like they were way early. I mean, they were punctual. I mean, they was earlier than Ricky Bowen and Daryl. I mean, and But they didn't care if we was up there finishing out a church service. And they got loud, loud, loud. And I noticed that the whole group of 200 or 300 people is at the state high school rodeo finals that they asked me to come and preach at. I could tell all of them were looking at these people that were just talking and carrying on. And it kind of upset me. I said, you know, we're talking about Jesus, the name's above every name. And the Spirit of God says, okay, well, just say my name, Jesus. So I stopped in mid-sentence and I said, Jesus! He said, say it again. I said, Jesus! And in that Colosseum, you could not hear a pin drop. Why? Because at his name, every demon of distraction has to flee. So if you'll use that name, if you'll just use that name, the name of Jesus, your Savior, Jesus. Any Mexicans here? I mean, come on, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim the kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love you. Glory be to God. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the name. Because what that means to me as a believer is nothing, there's nothing in this earthly realm that can defeat me in any way unless I let it. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that our faith is just being built up a little bit more. That we're not beat up over guilt and condemnation by a hellish realm, a devil that tries to beat us up, even if we are doing some things that we need some help in. Father, if there's addictions or there's things that any of us are doing, including preachers, that does not line up with your word, you know all sin, sir. We can't hide any of it. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, that if there's anything, it will be delivered off of the people of you, the people of God, right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that name. We thank you for being built up. We thank you, Lord, that we serve a God that wants us to succeed. And we can live holy, not holier than thou, but holy. And we give you praise. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, please do. Please give Him your life right now. You don't want to go to that third realm, hell. It is a very bad place. Utter darkness. So hot that you'll beg. For eternity. That's forever and ever and ever and ever. It does not stop. You'll beg for a drop of water on your tongue. Please don't choose that realm. But I can't make you, and no preacher can, and no one else can. We cannot make you give your life to the one that every knee is going to bow one day, Jesus. So I'm going to set it in front of you. You're going to have to pick Jesus. You're going to have to confess Him yourself that He's the Lord of your life. What I'm going to do and what all the people in here that are born again are going to do is we're going to pray a prayer with you possibly. Maybe you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you know some friends and it's time you get bold because of the power that you have in the name that's above every name. He's your Savior. You have the power to go and witness to people now. You don't have to be ashamed or afraid. If you're here or if you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. I want you to choose heaven by praying a prayer with all of us believers. We're going to pray it with you. And we're going to pray it out loud. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our heart and to save us. And then, oh man, you're going to have the name that's above every name. at your exposure. He's going to be the Lord of your life. So let's all pray it like this. You ready? Especially anyone here that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Pray this prayer out loud. We're going to pray it out loud. We're not ashamed. And we're going to pray it like this. Ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord. Come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm born again. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, now in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, all I'm going to ask you to do is to confess it before me, a man. The Bible says if you'll do that before a man, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be afraid of letting people know that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. So I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Right where you're sitting or you're watching, if you just gave your life to Jesus, I want you to be bold enough to say, that was me. When I count to three, if that was you, just raise your hand up. You're saying, God, I meant that prayer and I gave Jesus my life. And then you just put your hand right back down. That's all I want you to do. And I want you to do it with boldness right now. You ready? One, get that hand up if you just gave your life to the Lord. Two, three, go. Anybody? All right, look at me, y'all. Not one single hand was raised. Very seldom do we have that, but sometimes. Sometimes. So this message was a fire-up message to start telling people that you work with that they got to come and give their life to Jesus. But don't wait for them to come here. Go ahead and lead them to the Lord out there and then bring them. Amen? But if you have some timidity, you got to get rid of it. But I understand. Get them here then. Say, man, you got to hear some of these preachers. They preach about Jesus. And I'm telling that is who saves them, sets them free, delivers them, heals their body in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You had a good time? Honored to be here. Thank you so much. Just everything God's doing. Man, don't forget about water. Oh, Jesus. Everything that we make with the water, the Organica water, if y'all hadn't really exposed yourself, really what our church needs to do, we're about to build a big plant where we can get it fast. And I'm responsible. God just threw it in my lap. I'm responsible as the one that's going to go sell the stuff. And so I just happen to know lots of churches. I've already introduced Organica water, which again, y'all, the only natural water that is organically harvested. There's not another water that can say that. The FDA has rated our water, and you can only get it at this church or wherever I send it out. We just opened up the church, Faith Christian Center in Houston. And, I mean, they immediately bought four pallets of water. But it's the only organically harvested water that has nothing added to it and is filtered up in the air. It never touches the ground. Guys, this thing's fixing to explode. I can't hardly keep it. I keep enough where we can. I want the church to buy it, because everything you buy here or our town buys goes, the proceeds go to the church to help us build the covered arena possibly. And so if you need water, it's always going to be available here. We're not trying to compete with the tap water. And the tap water is no bueno. I mean, this water stuff has made me investigate lots of stuff. And I'm telling you, but listen to me. You know all those people, you know, primarily the Austin folk that want everything green and organic, they're going to be financing the kingdom because they're going to buy it. But it's the best water on the market. It has a pH level of 7.2 that is natural. You don't have to add or take away any anything from it. Nothing is ever added. There's not a single water that they don't add some type of purification. Or it's just tap water like Coca-Cola's water. It is just straight from the tap, guys. No one knows it. That's why they can get it for $5 at the store. We're not competing against that. We're a premium water that is about $10 cheaper than your Fiji's, your Smart Water. If you're buying that, you better be buying our water because it's better. Amen. Other than that, keep believing God with us for the indoor arena. The rodeo, we're fixing to have our first meeting about the rodeo. We moved it to the month of May. So we split the Ron Ross Memorial Steer Open. It's going to be the second week in May. Put that on your calendar. And then the actual rodeo, Liberty Hill Fair and Rodeo, is going to be the third weekend in May. I've split them because they're too big. But here's the thing. They're both now professional rodeos, PRCA. We moved the open. It's not an open rodeo anymore. It's now a PRCA-sanctioned rodeo. So that entails a lot. So the sponsorship's going to be a lot bigger. It's going to cost us a little bit more, but we're going to have always the best in the world coming to Liberty Hill and getting on Bronx and bulls and roping calves and steers, etc. Amen? So we're going to have fun. Hey, thank y'all, the new people that came. Love you. Appreciate you coming. Please come back. Amen? Oh, yeah. I'm thanking you. Yeah, because she told me to say it, and I almost forgot. Angel Tree, we have, I know we have several available. And y'all know the angel tree, you buy an angel, then you buy a gift and help some kids or people, whatever. If you want to be a part of buying some of them, I don't even know if they cost a certain amount or you just buy the angel. Since Heidi's not here, I want you to start praying about it because next week we'll... Is someone here? Who? Oh, so what's the deal on the angel tree? Yell it loud. Okay, so that's simple enough. You know, buy $100 worth of stuff if you can afford that. And I think we need to help people. Amen. That's what this church teaches, as we help people. So if you want to do that, I want you to see our awesome youth pastor back in the back and buy some angels. Amen. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Love you guys very, very much. Hey, invite some people next week. You might as well have 2 or 3, 4 to 20 people coming with you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we serve the name that's above every name. Oh, Jesus. We thank you for everything you're doing at this church. Now, Father, you don't stay here. The Bible says you never leave us. You never forsake us. So you get to go with us right now. And I just thank you, Lord, for the blessing on all these people that I love. It's an honor to pastor this church, sir. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for being our Lord. We love you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.